are able to gather together with us as the opportunity is given. We are always looking to the Word of God as we continue to study, as we gather together the Word stuff. So we encourage that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go throughout our worship this morning. And if you will, just go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We'll be going through Acts this morning. And on the theme that I've been doing on talking about Jesus, I have a question that is going to relate to that title, as you will see as we get into our points. But the title of the lesson this morning is simply, how much does one need to know to obey? How much does one need to know about the Word of God before they need to obey? There are times that there are those who push off obeying the gospel simply because they feel like they need to know more or all the text of the Word of God. Now understand, when I ask the question, how much does one need to obey? And it's not the point that once we understand just a small portion of the Word of God that we don't need to learn anymore, that we don't need to continue to grow, continue to study. How much do we need to know before we are baptized into Christ? Before we choose to become a member of the body of our Lord and Savior, to become part of God's family? How much does one need to know to obey? Is the question I want to ask this morning. And the point would be is, how much was known? How much was known? As we study throughout the book of Acts, and we look at the examples as the church began, and we look through and see what was taught before certain people obeyed the gospel. How much did they know before they obeyed? Did they know every work that needed to be done for the work of the church? Did they understand the task of an elder and a deacon? Did they understand everything about the law of God throughout the marriage? Did they know of who to withdraw from, who not to withdraw from? Did they know? How much did they know when they obeyed? How much does one know? And this is a question now I look at for myself as I have 4 children now, and to the extent of asking that question, some people get in the mindset, well, when should one obey the gospel? You know, are they too young when they're at 8, 9, 10? Do they need to be in the teenager's age range? Should they be older than that? And the question is how much do they truly know themselves? How much do they believe themselves? How much do they understand of the Word of God? So if you will open your books to Acts, I'm going to look at the examples throughout the Word of God when those who obey and the conversions in Acts. So in Acts chapter 2, if you will turn there with me. Acts chapter 2. I didn't make the font bigger this time. I apologize. Acts chapter 2, and starting in verse 14 is where Peter starts to talk. And I'm not going to read all the way throughout the remaining of chapter 2, but we'll be looking at a few verses. In Acts chapter 2, of course, the Holy Spirit has fallen on the apostles. And as the Holy Spirit fell on the apostles, they began to speak in tongues. And some of the men were marveled and was just, wow, look at this wonderful thing. But others were caught up in saying they were drunk. So Peter begins to explain that they were not drunk in verse 14 and explains that this was to come. But in verse 22 is when he starts to actually preach. When he starts to tell them of all the things that have happened and what they need to do. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, can you read with me there? It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as yourself also know. Him," speaking of Christ, "him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by the lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God because it was possible that he should be held by it. Here we see, when Peter first starts the call, he brings out in verse 22, this Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. He speaks about our Lord and Savior. That's who he starts to speak about. Then he goes in the very next verse, as it's marked for us, in verse 23, brings out him being delivered. Delivered, of course, that he was crucified, that he was sacrificed for us. As you continue along, verse 23 brings out that he had crucified and put to death. And verse 24 brings out whom God raised up. Here, Jesus, when Peter is preaching, when the church began, the first sermon that is preached is about Jesus. He teaches Jesus. Now, it wasn't that long ago when Jesus was crucified. This isn't the old news yet. This is still fresh. Jesus, when they was crucified. And then you can read verses 25 through verse 31. And verse 25 starts off where David says concerning him. Concerning who? Concerning Christ. David prophesied. He had talked about this in an earlier lesson. As we studied and started this series of lessons on Jesus. We went through and we looked at the prophecies that were made and how Jesus had fulfilled those prophecies, proving that he is the Son of God, proving that he is the Christ. And that's what is made pointed here in verses 25 throughout 28. And as it gets into verse 29, if you read 29 with me, it says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried in his tomb and is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up to sit on his house." Who would he raise up? He would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He would raise up Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And again in verse 31, speaks of the resurrection of Christ. Even David in the prophets foretold of Christ. And all that Peter is speaking about here, Peter continues to point to Christ. He continues to point to our Lord and Savior as he is teaching these people that have gathered around to hear what it is they had to say. In verse 32, once again, continues on the point of Jesus. It says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." He brings out that the apostles had witnessed, not only apostles, around 500 other men, had seen our Lord and Savior after he had died and resurrected. Had seen what he had done, that miracle that had taken place. In verse 36, as Peter is closing up on the sermon here, as he is really preaching hard, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" So in everything that they have taught here, the next question comes up and they ask, "What shall we do?" They've come to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. That he is the one that has been prophesied by the prophets. Now they feel guilty because they did not stand up for their Savior when he lived his life upon this earth. What shall we do? What can we do? So you read that next verse. You read verse 38. Continues on what they knew before they obeyed. It says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" He once again continued on the point of Jesus of repenting and being baptized into Christ. Understand, the point I like to make about this is that in verse 41 it tells us about 3,000 souls were added to.
About 3,000 souls of 3,000 people were baptized that day. I don't think the apostles had enough time to go every single person and to ask them about every law of the Old Testament and to see if they understood every prophecy that was made in the Old Testament and to explain to them how the church was going to work every single person on this one day. Understand that they didn't understand every single thing. What I do know they understood is who Christ was, why Christ came, and what Christ knew. How much did they know? They knew Christ. They knew that there was no hope without Jesus' sacrifice, without being baptized into our Lord and Savior. How much was known? How much was known in Acts chapter 3? Acts chapter 3, and you can start there in verse 11 throughout the remaining of the chapter through verse 26 as we look at the example here. We look and see, again, they'll be preaching about our Lord and Savior. Verse 13 is where he gets in to talk about Jesus here. It says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Here again, when they preach to them, when they are trying to convert them, they preach Jesus. They teach the one who came down and died for us, the Prince of Life, the Holy One, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is who they are preaching. And in verse 18 says, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Once again, they continue to point on the things that we've already talked about in our previous lesson. They point out all the prophecies that pointed to Jesus. The Christ. So this is the man whom they were talking about. This would make more sense to them than us, to the extent that the law was written to them, written for them, that they should have been studying this continuously. Therefore, when this took place, they should have saw the signs that this is the Christ. This is who God has been speaking about through his prophets. They continued to teach Jesus. He continues on in verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says. So once again, he continues on the point that it is Christ. He even points back to Moses, says, Moses said that there would be a prophet like me, and that is Jesus. He points to Jesus. He points to his death. He points to his resurrection. And he points out that they need to repent and be converted so that their sins can be forgiven. Continues on the point of Christ, even to verse 26. It says, to the first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your name. For us to get out of our sin, we must turn to Christ. That's what I've been trying to show as we've been studying about Jesus. As we pointed out his deed, as we studied his prophecies, as we looked forward and saw that he was man when he lived his life upon this earth. And then we looked and asked the question, who killed Jesus? and we looked at the sacrifice that he made and thought how it applies to our son. We ask that question, how much was known when they were converted during the first century of the church? Simply, it comes time again, they continue to preach our Lord and Savior. In Acts chapter 8, and in verse 4, here we come to the example of Philip. Philip continuing to teach to the Samaritans. As Philip taught, we look there and see what he had taught. And in verse 5, start up in verse 4, go ahead and start up in verse 4. It says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. He went to a place, and what did he start teaching? He didn't just immediately say, this is sin, you need to stop. And this is sin, you need to stop. This is sin. See, we often, we focus on the sin. Well, I need to understand every aspect of what is a sin. I need to know every act that we need to do that God has told us to do. That's not what he says he started to preach. He preached Jesus to them first. This is the first thing that is brought up to them so that they can be converted, so that their sins can be forgiven. Once we come to Christ, we let Christ live in us and guide us in the right direction. We let his light through his word shine to us, and we will learn after we have accepted who Christ is and obey his word. He preached Christ to them. And in verse 12, you jump down and we'll start in verse 9. Verse 9 says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city, astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the great, saying, this man has great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, continued with Philip. As we see the example here in Acts 8, we look at the Samaritans. We look at Simon the sorcerer. Philip taught Christ to them. He taught our Lord and Savior. That's what they knew. Now, I don't have a time frame exactly how long Philip was here, how much he had taught to all the Samaritans and Simon's Christians. But what we are shown, what God has decided to declare to us, is that Jesus was taught and they were baptized into him. That's what we do know. They knew that Jesus is the Son. That he came down and died for us. And he was resurrected. He overcame death. And that he, and only he, can grant to us the free gift. Only through Christ. Another example here in Acts chapter 8 is Philip and the eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch. As the angel had picked him up and brought him here. He just came here and told him that there's a man that needs to be taught. He is already studying. He's already reading. But he doesn't know the right direction. So we look and see what it is Philip ended up teaching. How much this man had known. And in verse 32, we see that this man was reading. It says, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth, and his humiliation, his justice, was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask, whom does the prophet say this is? This of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to them. Even as they studied in Jeremiah, even as they went into the old wall, as he reads what the prophets had to say, this man couldn't understand who he was talking about. So Philip started there and preached Jesus to them. Once again, we don't have the full story. I don't know how long they were traveling, because I mean, they got a good long journey here. They're in the middle of a desert. But I do know that Philip continued to teach Jesus. And some of the things that he ended up teaching, if you look there in verse 37, it says, then Philip said, or in verse 36, if you read there with me, it says, now when they went down the road and came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They went down into the water and baptized. Somewhere along the lines of reading about Jeremiah's prophecy of Christ, he had taught this eunuch that baptism was essential for salvation. Because the eunuch saw water and says, what keeps me from being baptized now? He says, if you believe with all your heart, you know. Understand, what we need to know is that we have full trust in our God. We have full trust in who Jesus is. And we believe that He will cleanse us if we give ourselves over to Him and be immersed in the water, buried as He was buried, and raised as He was resurrected, and have our sins forgiven. And we'll be added to His kingdom when we do so. And God will add you to His church, His kingdom. This is what was known as we see the examples. In Acts chapter 9, in Acts chapter 22, in Acts 26, all these are speaking of the account of the Apostle Paul and his conversion. Acts 9 is when it took place, and Acts 22 and 26 is Paul having a remembrance of it, speaking of the account and to other people. But in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 9 and in verses 4 through 12, we see that Jesus literally appeared to Paul. This is what converted the Apostle Paul. Is that Jesus converted him. The knowing that Jesus is real, that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is not a fraud. That's what converted Paul. Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke to Paul. Jesus spoke to Paul. My wife didn't hear, so she didn't get to read over my thing. Jesus spoke to Paul. He blinded him, sent him all the way to Damascus, told him to continue on the road to get there. Ananias was sent to him, and you read the examples. You read the example in Acts 22, if you will. In Acts 22, verse 14, as Paul is given a revelation of what had happened. 22 and verse 14. Once again, he brings out that he saw Jesus. Says, then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. This is Ananias speaking to him. The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know His will and see the just one and hear the voice of His mouth. For you will be His witness to all men that was what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. And wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Ananias here brings out the point. You saw the justice. You heard him. When he tells him to be baptized, he doesn't just tell him to be baptized for no reason, but in the name of our Lord. Once again, to point out about Paul. Paul was known a lot of the teachings that were taking place. Because he was out there crucifying. He was out there pulling Christians out of their homes, dragging them back to Jerusalem, throwing them in prison. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. He would have heard the teachings from Stephen. He would have heard the teachings of these other disciples of Christ. So I imagine those days that he was waiting for Ananias to come to him as he continued to travel to Damascus. All these things have been running through his mind, saying they must have been right. Jesus has stopped me and told me that I'm going the wrong direction and rethinking all the things that were being taught that he was trying to put into his mind. What did Paul know? Paul knew Jesus. Paul knew Jesus. That's why he changed his way. That's why he stopped persecuting Christians, but became a Christian. Became a disciple, an apostle of Christ. Going back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 is the example of the house of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11 goes in to explain all that had taken place. As Peter was sent here to preach the word to the Gentiles, to send the Gentiles into the new covenant. As the Holy Spirit, of course, ended up falling on them. But in Acts 10 and in verse 34 is where Peter starts to speak to them, saying, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteous and accepted him," once again, who is him? That's speaking of Christ. That's why it's capitalizing H there. Is that he accepts Christ. Accepts God and his Son. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. Here in verse 36. That he is the Christ. That he is the Lord. Of course, as Paul was preaching, as he continued to teach these things, the Holy Spirit ended up falling on them, proving that they were to come into the New Testament. And in verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all and were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Once again, pointing to our Lord and Savior. Once again, pointing out that they are witnesses of his death, burial, and resurrection. And in verse 41, it says, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Once again, that's a common theme point that when they speak about Christ, they talk about his death. They talk about his resurrection. They talk about being baptized in his blood. We ask, how much does one need to truly understand? Not just say, be able to quote the scriptures that says one must be baptized in order to have our sins forgiven. I can have Josiah read that scripture over and over again, and he can read it back, say it back to me. Doesn't mean he understands it. But one who truly understands it. One who believes it for themselves, not just because their dad or mom said, well, this is what you have to do, but they truly understand it. They believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that we have to be baptized into Christ in order to have our sins forgiven. One more example in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and in verse 15 through 34, here we have another conversion. And what was taught in verse 31, if you will. In verse 31, it says there, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And in verse 33, he brings out the says, he took them to the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Once again, it says it's within the hour. It doesn't say within the days, within the years, within a long amount of time of teaching, enough time to explain all the prophecies, enough time to explain all the acts and all the sins. It says within the hour, they baptized in themselves. They believed who Jesus was. They believed in the power of God through Christ and washed away their sins. How much does one need to know? You look at the example of all the conversions throughout the book of Acts. We see when the Jews were converted in Acts 2, the Samaritans in Acts 8, the eunuch there in Acts 8, Saul in Acts 9, Cornelius chapter 10 and 11, Lydia in Acts 16, the jailer, and then the Corinthians. And one thing in common of them all is that they were all baptized. Every conversion speaks about the baptism of Christ. Being baptized and washing away your sins. We want to extend the Lord's invitation this morning to any who do who know who Jesus is and has yet to come forward to be baptized into Christ. And if you feel that you still struggle understanding everything that you need to know, we encourage that you let me know so we can study. So we can go forward and explain what it is you need to know before you do it. If you desire to go back and listen to the lessons that have been presented so far, we have them on our Facebook site. I'm a little behind on the website, but we'll get those up there too. And you can re-listen to those lessons, re-look up those scriptures and see what you need to know. And we've covered more than I believe all of us taught to all these people here as we look at it. We need to know who Jesus is. And once you know who Jesus is, then you are to remain faithful in Christ. You're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So if you've obeyed the gospel, and you feel like you haven't been grown, you feel like you've been falling back into the world, and you need the prayers of the congregation to help you get out, whatever we can do for you, we will let you know.
There's wonderful power in the blood.